Okay, everybody? That sound okay? Yeah? Right, Steve? A little bit echoey. I don't know how much we can do about that. Well, I've been quite nervous about speaking this morning. Mainly because my wife's here. She's normally in Sunday school. I can probably count on half a hand how many times she's heard me speak, because she's always out the back. So, yeah, so I'll be on my best behaviour today. We're going to be continuing our series on the miracles of Jesus from John. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you can follow along with me if you want. Why don't we get in there and just read it? We're going to start in John 6, and we're going to start where we left off last week, with the feeding of 5,000. Was it feeding 5,000 last week? It was. Okay, so this story directly appends the last story. So we're gonna start in verse 14. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Okay. So that is the text for today. Now, this is actually one of my favourite stories. I love this story. It's a great story. And actually, it's in three Gospels. It's not just in John. It's in Matthew and Mark as well. And some of the things I'll be sharing today will come out of Matthew and Mark, because they share different sides to the story. As I was preparing this sermon, it really struck me how the whole book of John is about building faith, and I talked about this last time. It's a book that really wants to build faith in you, in your heart. And as I was considering this morning, it became quite clear to me that the only thing that is important is the state of your heart. That's the only thing that's important. The state of your bank account is not eternal. The state of how tidy your house is not eternal. You might feel eternal, but it's not. The state of your heart is all that really matters. And this morning, I want you to consider your own heart. If we get anywhere this morning, I hope that we get to a place where you can consider how much faith is actually in your heart right now. Okay? And understand that God is looking to build faith within you. And that will grow into something. But it comes from the heart. Everything comes from the heart. Sometimes this world tries to paint a very different picture. It paints a picture of what you do will make you happy. If you have a nice haircut, you'll feel good about yourself. Do you see what I mean? If you attain that job, then you'll feel great. But God works in a completely different way, doesn't he? The way that he works is he says, I will do something in your heart, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen? God wants to do something in you. So all the time, sometimes we can look at what's on the surface. We can look at our environment, our situation. And we can realize, and then you come to the conclusion of, God, what's going on in my heart? And this is the conclusion that I came to on Monday. I was at work, and I made a very rude comment. sorry to tell you, it wasn't my finest moment. But I did. And it's one of those things where, you know, you say something, and just before you say it, you think, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea, and you say it, and then all the alarm bells in your heart just go straight off, and you're like, I wish I could just take those words back, but they're gone now. I can't. And I'd said it, and straight away I felt absolutely guilty. Do you ever feel, I don't know if you ever feel like that. I felt absolutely rotten inside. And I thought, I've got to lead a prayer meeting tonight. And I, how can God use me? And I was absolutely, you know what? And I was speaking to my friend on the way home from work, as I normally do, on my mobile phone, waste all my time yabbering away. And I said, oh, you know, I made this rude comment, and I just totally repent of that. You know, I'm worried that things will not go well. And he said to me, "It's you don't need to repent of your rude comment. That's a result of your sin. It's not your sin. It's the outworking of your sin." And I thought about that, and I mulled that over. And I realised he was right. It wasn't the outworking of the sin that was the problem. It was my heart that was the problem. It wasn't me saying something rude, but it was the fact that, and this is what I analysed in myself, I'd moved away from God in my heart. That week I hadn't been spending that much time with God. My focus was not with God at all. And I had to get in very quickly on the train into a place in my heart where I say, look, God, I repent of my sinful heart. I repent of the fact that I've ignored you. Nothing to do with the comment. The comment is just the outward focus of that. And these are the verses that really support that. Matthew 15, verse 18. Let's have a quick look at that, shall we? You've got your Bibles in front of you. There we go. It says, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and they make a man unclean. Okay? Let's look at Luke 6, verse 45. Just skipping around very quickly. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart speaks the mouth. Amen. So sometimes I think we can be like, oh, I've done a bad thing. I've said something bad. I must repent of what I said bad. But really, we've got to understand that sometimes we can look at the way we've been talking. And sometimes it's not even in, you know, the fact that we said something wrong, but it can be a whole sense of what we've been talking about all the time. Because what you talk about is what's in your heart. You can't help it because your heart overflows. What is in your heart will come out. It's quite clear. And this is some of the things I've been thinking about, you know. We need to take a look at ourselves sometimes and say, Lord, What's going on with me? What's in my heart right now? And the things I'm saying, they are a reflection of what's inside. And I know you want to deal with the inside, Jesus. And you know, this whole, I don't know about you, but the last 6 months or so, there's been a lot of political turmoil. Right? There's been a lot of uncertainty, and there's a sense where it's, I don't know, I look at social media and I look at lots of things, and what people are saying, what people are thinking, what's in their hearts really comes to the surface, doesn't it? You know, what's in my heart comes to the surface. And we can dig a bit deeper, can't we? And we can say, am I trusting in the Lord? Or am I trusting in the political situation that's around at the moment? Well, you know, what we can say, well, what is at the root of my heart? Is it trusting in the Lord? Is it faith in what God is doing and Him building His kingdom? Or is there a root of fear in my heart that causes me to worry about all these situations in the news? I just want you to just start to think about some of these things. Because God wants to build faith in your heart. And if faith is built in your heart, you are going to talk a lot different to if there is unbelief in your heart or if there is a root of fear in your heart. If there's a root of fear in your heart, you're going to say, well, let's just think about this. Oh, everything's, you know, if there's a root of bitterness in your heart, the way that you speak is going to be very different. And you're not going to be able to control it. So sometimes if I can just control the things I say, you know, just try not to say it. Well, that won't fix it. That'll only work for a little while. Because what's in your heart eventually will come out. So listen to yourself. If you're married, listen to your partner. Because they will inform you quite regularly when your heart's not right, right? The things you say. But listen. Listen to your own heart. So what's this got to do with today's story? Well, I love this story. And I'm just going to talk through it because I think it'll be easier for me. we're going to go back to the story before, the feeding of the 5,000. Okay? Now Jesus, I think it says in Mark, Jesus finishes feeding the 5,000 and he says to the disciples quite clearly in quite a few of the stories, he says this, gather up all the stuff that's left over. Gather up all the stuff that's left over, all the bread. How many baskets did they have? 12 baskets. How many disciples were there? One basket each, aren't they? Gather it all up. And I was thinking, well, gather it all up. Okay, gathered it all up. Well, everybody, all the other 5,000 people have all had their fill. So it's not like they're gathering it up to distribute out again to the people who were there. They've already had their fill. So he said, gather it up and keep it there, you know. And then he says, you lot, gather all the stuff up and get in the boat and go. And then while I dismiss the crowds, and then I'm going to go up to pray. Okay? That's what he's saying to do. So what we see is he sent the disciples off on purpose with these 12 baskets of bread in their boat out onto the sea. Okay? That's what he's done. He sent them out. He's gone up to pray. Now, you won't find that in John, but you may well find it in Mark. It's Matthew 14, and it's Mark 6, I believe. Mark 6, Matthew 14. Now, Jesus is praying, and it says in the middle of the night. Now, I don't know, maybe it got evening, so everybody went home. Okay, so you can assume it's evening. I think it's about midnight, we see that Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, the disciples are in the boat, so all of them in the boat, and the sea's kicking up. It doesn't say it's a massive storm, but it says the wind's blowing hard. Okay? The wind is blowing hard, and they've had to put the sail down because it's clearly going in the wrong direction, and they've been rowing hard for 3 or 3.5 miles. And it's taken them half the night. It's taken them a long time to row this way. And what we realize is Jesus comes walking on the water, 3.5 miles of walking on the water. And that struck me that Jesus was really a man of faith himself, was he not? Jesus was just a man, but he had to, in faith, understand and realize that he was a son of God. He didn't just walk a few steps on the water. He walked in faith 3.5 miles on his own across the water. And let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew, shall we? Matthew 14:25. After he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Wow. I mean, to be fair, they didn't ask to go across the lake. They were told to go across the lake, and they did it. And they're out there in the middle of what must seem like a nightmare in this little boat, and not getting very far and struggling and must be thinking, what is going on? And then a man comes walking across the water. I mean, you must have been freaked out. I mean, it's been a pretty freaky day already. You've seen 5,000 people fed. I mean, you're probably exhausted. You don't know what's going on. And this person's walking past. This is I can't work this bit out. But it says in one of the stories, it said Jesus, it looked like he was going to walking past. And I mean, let's have a look at what's in their heart at this moment. Now, Jesus has given them 12 baskets of bread, which were a miracle in themselves, because they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? And they're sitting on 12 baskets. They're sitting on a miracle in the boat. Does that make sense? Jesus has given them this. I think he's made them take the baskets with them to remind them, this is what I've done. I've fed 5,000 people. But, I mean, they are the disciples. They're very much like us. They never get things first time. And Jesus wants to build faith in these guys, his disciples. He knows they don't quite get it yet. That's fine. He knows we don't quite get it yet. That's fine too. But we're on a journey, aren't we, with our faith. And Jesus wants to build our faith, and yet they're sitting here. Now, what I see is 12 men, and it says they were terrified, and they cried out in fear. What was coming out of their mouth was the fear that was in their heart. Amen? Absolute fear in their heart. We can be like that. And what does Jesus say to them? He says, take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid. And this is the great thing about Jesus. He knows what's in their heart. They don't know how to say it. There's so many instances where you see Jesus and he knew what was in their hearts. And with you, Jesus knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows what you're scared about. He knows it all. And he says, take courage. Take courage. Go for it. Okay? Now this is the bit, and this is my favourite. This is my favourite guy in the Bible, really, Peter. Isn't he fantastic? Now, I've preached a sermon on this a couple of times about, you know, oh, how, you know, Peter, what a failure. And we can sometimes see Peter as a little bit of a failure, can't we? He's the guy who, you know, He denied Jesus 3 times. Even in this story, we know that, you know, he doubts and he slips. But I want you to take a look at this guy and realize that Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. And he was referring to the work that he'd done in Peter's heart at that time. And the fact that Peter recognized things. And Peter was a man who would go for it. That was the man that Peter was. Peter was the man that when God spoke and he heard it, he didn't second guess it. He would go for it. And we see this so many times with Peter that Peter's, you know, when Jesus says, push out the boat, and Peter doesn't even agree that they're going to get any fish in that other story, but he says, because you said it, I'll do it. And that's the heart that God is looking for. The heart that said, because you said it, I'll do it. Okay, and I think Peter in his heart, yes, he's full of fear, but there's something else in his heart that's growing. Faith. Peter wants to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He wants to believe it. There's something in him that recognizes it, but he needs to know. Okay, and so let's see what happens next. Is that the disciples are absolutely wetting themselves in the boat. And Peter stands up. And what's he say? He says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. What? That's crazy talk. Is it really? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd be like, yeah. Oh, wow, Jesus, that's great. Come in the boat. Can you calm the waves? You know, what's Peter saying? If it's you, then tell me to come to you. Let me step out on the water too. Because Peter's got something different in his heart. So the words that are coming out of his mouth are speaking from the heart that's in there. Okay, and I think this is absolutely fantastic. I mean, wasn't Peter a man of action? This is the thing we learn about faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the action that you believe in. Faith is a doing word. And so if your faith's going to grow, yes, God's got to speak to you. So you've got to spend time with the Lord. You have to. Because you have to be in a place where these guys were in, where they were in a boat. Nothing they could do about anything, but yet Jesus was there. And you've got to get yourself into that place where there's nothing you can do about anything, but you're with Jesus and you can hear from him. If you can't hear from him, then your faith's never going to grow. Does that make sense? So that's why coming to church is so important. Because if you don't hear God's word, then there's nothing that can take root in your heart. And the devil has got free rein to deceive you. So coming and hearing the word is so important. Reading your Bible is so important because it's the word of God. Okay, I'm getting a bit passionate, but I am passionate about these things. Because that's how faith's going to grow in this church. What does Jesus say? Now this is what I love about Jesus. Jesus is calling people into action. He's calling them into motion. You know, how many times do you read in your Bible and Jesus said, go, go, go for it. You know those things I'm telling you? Go for it. Don't just sit there. What does Jesus say? Come. Come on. And let's keep reading, shall we? Then Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water. He walked on the water. He actually did it. Now there's 11 guys sitting on baskets of bread, sitting on miracles, scared, doing nothing, petrified. And there's one man who stepped out of that place. And he's walking on water. Okay, what happens next? He came towards Jesus, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And you know what? When you go for it for God, when you go for it for God, you make that leap of faith, guess what? Doubts are going to come in. You're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're going to struggle. Those things don't necessarily go away. And you'll find yourself in a position where, like, God, I've stepped out for you. I said that thing to that person and they rejected me. I don't understand. I'm struggling. You know, I've signed up to do this thing for you, Lord. No, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can go on the streets and do, you know, tell people about you. I don't know if I can ask that person if I can pray for them. I don't know if I can help out in Sunday school because I'm scared of kids. I don't know what it is. But there is a sense where God will grow something in your heart and then you've got to do it. Otherwise, that thing will die. Okay? Now, let's read on. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And that's the thing we've got to realize. There's one man who is in the middle of the sea holding hands with Jesus in the middle of a miracle. And there's 11 men in a boat sitting on bread. And it just strikes me that, so what? He messed up. He doubted. He was afraid. But he's the one who's there. And for me, the thing that I want to see in my life, it's not enough just to read it. I want to see it. I don't know about you. But there's something in me that says, I like the theory. The theory's good, but that's not what I'm all about. I need to see this. I need to see this thing happen. I need to see God in action. You know, I want to see someone's leg grow back. It's going to be very hard to do that if I stay at home. It's going to be... you know, I've got to be in the position where God can do something. Where God can reach out. And this is what I want to encourage you with this morning, is don't be afraid to be a failure. Don't be afraid to mess up. Because the Lord's heart is this. Immediately, he was there. Right with him. So really, the main point of what I want to share with you is, what's in your heart? Is your heart full of faith? Maybe it is. Maybe you're going for it. Or when you look a little bit closer, do you find maybe I'm sitting on the bread in the boat? I'm doing what Jesus has asked me to do. He told me to get in the boat and go to Capernaum. And I'm following and yet there's more for you. And you see it. And you see God's got more for me, but I'm just scared. Well, good, be scared. I'm sure Peter was scared out of his life, but go for God. If you want to be the one who makes it, if you want to be the one who's gripping the hand of Christ and seeing miracles happen, you're going to be the one who has to go for it. Okay, and I just want to encourage you. It's in you. God will spring up a well within you. It's in you, and God wants to make it grow. And that's why sometimes he doesn't give us it all. He doesn't give us it all, does he? He just gives us a bit. And you're like, why don't I understand all of it? Why can't I have everything that I want right now? And God is just giving you a bit. And he's saying, come on, come with me. And I just want to encourage you. You know, the Lord loves you so much. He really does. And just like Joel was saying, he is leading you. And sometimes kicking and screaming like our kids. Sometimes he's leading us, kicking and screaming a bit. But he's leading you. And you can decide whether you want to join in or not. You know, the other thing is, take a look at your heart. You know, I said it before. Take a look at your heart. What's in there? Listen to your own words. Listen to the things you're saying. Listen to the, you know, is your heart overflowing with frustration? Well, if it is, it will come out in the way that you speak to people. And the, normally the ones who are closest to you, because you know they're not going anywhere. Is that right? This is one of the things that I took from football. Played football for years. When you're playing in a football game and you're a striker, okay, your job is to run into positions that you could potentially receive the ball in. Does that make sense? So a lot of the time you're doing a lot of running, but nothing actually quite happens. And you only need it to happen once, and then you can kick the ball in the goal, and then great. Okay? But what you do is you do a lot of running into space to see what happens. Okay? And now, a lot of being a good footballer has got nothing to do with whether you're actually talented at kicking the ball. A lot of it has got to do with if you can keep going for 90 minutes and keep believing that you will actually get that ball and you will score. And I've seen so many times really good players doing this. Nobody passes to me. And as a manager, I run! Get in the space! Move! Get up there! Keep going! Keep going! And the heads drop. And this is a prayer. The heads have dropped. Heads have dropped. And in our life, we can be like that. Not running. I'm not running anymore. I'm not running for the spaces. I'm not seeing what God could do. I'm running into it. Because in my heart, I'm all, oh, doesn't work. I've got no faith that we're going to win. And that's the problem. Once a player starts to believe that they're not going to win, and no one's going to pass to them, and they can't really score, then they stop running. And it's like life. You know, we can realise that we stop running. And we're standing still. And God is saying, get up there! Keep running! So I just want to encourage you. Find the Lord. Find Him. Find Him in your heart. Everything flows from your heart. Don't worry about the outcome. Maybe you do what God said and nothing happens. Well, there's been many failures in the Bible. Who are real men of God. Real men of God. People like Jeremiah. His whole ministry was a large failure. In an outward sense. But God loved him. And God was using him. And he'll have treasures stored up in heaven. See, he kept going. Kept going. Kept believing. God wants to grow faith in your heart. Okay, and I asked Mark to come up. Maybe we'll have some time to think about these things. Amen?